It's time to pray, America. It's time to pray for change.
We need to see change. America wants change. Change.
In 1966, the Holy Spirit spoke to Dale Gentry and said these words, "Give me the first hour of your day, and I'll change your life." Responded. And now, over 40 years later, thousands across this nation and around the world pray daily with Dale.
It's coming now, it's coming now, revival's coming now. It's coming now, it's coming now, revival's coming now. Yes, it is, yes, it is, and it's coming now, it's coming.
Your Hour of Power prayer leader, Dale Gentry.
Hey, thank you very much, Tom Dooley, and good Friday, everybody. Good to have you listening in here on BPN Radio, Breakout Prayer Network, BPN Radio, on this Friday, first Friday of September 2015. And today is a big day because Friday in football season means high school football. And today we have a high school football coach on, and one of the most successful high school football coaches ever in the state of New Mexico. And he's going to be on today, so don't go away. I'm going to be interviewing him, and you are going to be blessed by his testimony of how he's built a championship team, in addition to winning several state titles, and with a record of 130 wins and 29 losses. Incredible. So Coach Sean Wigley is going to be with us in a few moments. So don't go away. As we pray for revival in America, another spiritual awakening, of course, that means praying for you as an individual, your family, your church, your city, and your nation. And speaking of cities, we want to welcome some new cities and churches that are part of the Breakout Prayer Network. We want to welcome Brookland, Texas, St. Anne, Missouri. We want to welcome New Orleans, Louisiana, and we want to welcome Fairfax, Virginia, as well as Venus, Florida, Santa Fe, Texas, Eureka Springs, Arkansas, Brookhaven, Mississippi. I want to welcome some new churches praying with us. St. Raymond's Church in Brooklyn, Texas. Praise Church, New Orleans. Faith Church, St. Anne, Missouri. Meadowood Baptist Church in Midwest City, Oklahoma. As well as Real Life Church, Fairfax, Virginia. Faith That Works Ministries, Houston, Texas. Calvary Crossroads Church, Santa Fe, Texas. Free Christian Church, Eureka Springs, Arkansas. Tabernacle of Praise, Fort Worth, Texas. Brookhaven First Assembly of God Church in Brookhaven, Mississippi. As well as Calvary Church in Stafford, Texas. And as well, we want to welcome some other cities and churches that are praying with us. We do want to welcome Wimberley Protestant Methodist Church in Toxie, Alabama, as well as Emmanuel Fellowship in Cottonwood, Arizona. We want to welcome to BPN, First Assembly of God, Benton, Arkansas, and Christ Church Non-Denominational Church in Little Rock, Arkansas. We want to welcome New Beginnings Church in Chino, California, as well as Clearview Church in Chino, California. Give a shout out to everyone out west there. And I want to welcome the Roman Catholic Church in Overland Park, Kansas. Christ Church of the Jesus Hour, also in Kansas City, Missouri. I want to welcome Faith Life Church in Bentley, Louisiana. And the First Baptist Church, far west, First Baptist Church, one in West Monroe, Louisiana. Got that one right, finally. Family Worship Center, Columbia, Missouri, praying with us, as well as Family Life Church in Lincoln, Nebraska. Churches all across America, as well as cities all across America. And if you want to be one of our 1,000 points of light, you can go to letspray america.com. letspray america.com. And right on the homepage there, there's a sign-up sheet. You can sign up your name, and you can sign up your church in your city, and you will be one of 1,000 points of light in America, and on representing your city, your church on BPN Breakout Prayer Network. So be delighted to have you sign up so that we could recognize your church, your city. And you can also receive a daily prayer from me. I do want to make an announcement from my office staff that some people are being dropped off of our prayer list, not intentionally, but just the server that we have does that from time to time. If you'll sign in with a new email address, that will help particularly. And we also have some information on our Facebook. If you would like to go there and get that. Good to have you listening in. Father, we just pray the will of God be done here on BPN Radio on this Friday as we broadcast from our studios in Austin, Texas, responding to the call to pray. And Father God, we welcome not only churches and cities and individuals here in America, but the approximately 70 nations that have joined us in prayer around the world, as we pray for this nation who so desperately needs prayer. And we believe this is a great month for a revival, for awakening here in September. We just believe that you are at work in our lives. And we believe that there's going to be some suddenlies that start happening, Lord. It's going to be quite amazing. And we are so thrilled and so delighted. So your will be done here in the broadcast on BPN on this Friday as we broadcast this time, anytime, around the clock, around the globe, here on BPN, your 24-hour internet prayer station, your internet prayer station. And, of course, we are part of the TuneIn network, about 600 internet radio stations and television stations are now part of that. And if you want to download the TuneIn app, then of course that will make it much easier for you to be able to tune in here on BPN. when you once you get that, you'll just go to the TuneIn app, and you will type in BPN, and you'll see our American flag there, and you will be ready to go. Okay, we have an interview with, we're going to talk football, and we're not only going to talk football, we're going to talk about the principles of developing great young men. I know that many will be interested in this because Coach Sean Wigley has not only been a successful football coach, high school football coach, but he also has been a very successful youth pastor, youth leader, and he's involved now, of course, in outreach, and we will be back to have him on the phone to talk with him in just a moment. But we're going to play one of my granddaughter Taylor Gentry's favorite songs. Taylor and I will be ministering at Gateway Church in Roswell, New Mexico, a week from this Sunday, and she'll be singing and I will be ministering. So we're going to play one of her favorite songs. It's entitled "You Make Me Brave" by Bethel Music out in Reading. So here's Bethel Music, "You Make Me Brave," and we'll be back with our interview here on BPN on a Friday.
And we're
Okay, it's good to have on BPN Radio on this Friday, Coach Sean Wigley from Gateway Christian School in Roswell, New Mexico. And I've known Sean for a long time. I used to be his pastor, and he's had an incredible record coaching football at Gateway Christian School in Roswell. And because New Mexico is not a very large state, the Christian schools, they compete with the public schools there. And so Sean has been the coach at Gateway Christian School since 2005. He's had an incredible record. He's won 130 games, lost 29, which is a 7.777% percentage of his games. So he has a 7.77 percentage winning percentage there, however you say that. And so Sean has won, he's won 130 games, lost 29. He's won, had five state titles, won the state championship five times in New Mexico with his football team, four district championships, and they set an all-time New Mexico state record with by winning 26 games in a row at Gateway Christian School. And so they have made the playoffs every year that he's been the coach there. He also has served 11 and a half years as a youth pastor there at the church, and he now works leading evangelism at Gateway the Gateway Church there in Roswell, New Mexico. So Sean, welcome to BPN today.
Thank you, Pastor Dale. I appreciate you having me.
Well, you have been an incredible young man for all the years that I've known you, and you have the heart of a champion. And we know that people don't just win 130 games out of 159 by accident. But I know there is some things, some ingredients that have gone into your championship teams, and you took a team in 2005 that the year before did not even have a varsity program, and immediately started winning. And I think maybe the first year you may have, I don't know if you lost any games or not the first year, the first two or three years it was incredible. But you've had a great program, and I can remember way back when my son Rick Gentry was the athletic director there, and he approached me because I was the pastor of the church there, Gateway, in Roswell. And he said, you know, we need to fill the head coaching position. I believe that Sean Wigley would do a good job. And I said, well, Sean hasn't had any hardly any coaching experience, no varsity coaching experience. He said, well, Dad, I believe he's a one that's going to build championship teams. And so he insisted, and I agreed. And you certainly have proven Coach Rick Gentry correct, because you've had an incredible program. So tell me I know you've had some good players along, but it takes more than good players. So what would be the ingredients after these past 10 years, what would be the ingredients of building a five state championship teams and having a 26 game winning streak and that incredible percentage? What goes into that?
Well, I would have to say that I've always had great men around me. You know, I had Rick, as you said, believed in me and mentored me when I started, really kind of took me under his wing and showed me football. I had a great passion for young men, and that's what he saw in me, or that's what he said he saw in me, and I still have that passion to turn young men into godly men and men that can serve our community and change the world around them. I believe sports is an avenue that can transform boys into men if done properly and done with the foundation of Jesus Christ. So, you know, when we won early, it had more to do probably with the men around me. And obviously, Coach Justin Stevens has been there since the beginning. He was a state police officer, took his time off to come and help us coach defense, and then Rick obviously coached the offense for those first few years, And the thing we all had in common is we knew it was bigger than football. We knew it was bigger than talent. It had to do with character and forming a bond with those young men that was greater than themselves. Learning to play for something that means more than just you is something that will transform your life. I believe community works on the field as well as in life. And if you learn that, you can do great things. There's power in a group of people that have like-minded beliefs.
Well, I believe that. So you took a team in 2005 had only didn't even have a varsity program the year before, and you immediately started winning. And what did you do? You remember what you told those guys that first year? I mean, you had never coached on that level before, and they were back playing varsity football. And how did you put that together the first year to have such an incredible season to begin with?
Well, it started slow. I remember the first practice we had six kids out there, and I was a little bit discouraged, but I just knew God had called me to that, and I thought if he called me, then he'll make provision. We just have to keep moving forward. So the first week of practice, we had six kids out there. I just coached those six kids like they were 60, and Coach Stevens came out there and Rick, and we just began to coach them up, and I think we entered our first game that year having 11 players. Yeah. And after we won that first game with 11, we had five more kids come out, and it just kind of snowballed from there. You know, Rick believed in me, but those kids did not have any idea who I was or what I was going to bring to the table. Uh-huh. And you always have to be ready to prove yourself in life. Yeah. And in sports or anything, you just have to believe if God's called you to it, then you put your best foot forward. You work like you've already been there. Uh-huh. And you know what you're doing. And those kids kind of fed off that winning. Winning is contagious. They yeah. wanted to win, obviously. If you start winning, kids want to be a part of your program. So that was important early. We were able to win that first game. We got 15 out, one of those being Javon Hunter, probably one of the best kids I've ever coached. Uh-huh. Came out and really made a difference on the team athletically, but also leadership wise. He was a hard worker, never really heard him complain. And we just had a special group of young men there when it started. It was a goldmine of kids when I started. They were underdeveloped and hadn't played a lot of football, but boy, by that second and third year, they were absolutely still to this day some of the best kids I've ever coached.
Yeah. And you started out with six-man football, and then now you guys are playing eight-man. And but you've had some incredible players along, but you have year after year, it's amazing how you keep winning. And I just believe that you have set something in motion that other young men desire to be a part of. And so I know that's happened year after year, that you just keep winning. And it's like you never have an off season, but you just keep putting it together. And so I know that the football team has a tradition. I know before each game. Tell me what that is, what they do, what they're carrying before each game.
Well, I started back when we first started. I was praying about a way to really represent Christ. We're a Christian school, and I don't want that just to be a name. I want that to be who we are. I want to represent Christ to the world, not only to the people that we're playing, but to the fans in the stands, and then also to remind us before the game what our priorities are, what our value system is, that Christ must come first. So we, mm-hmm. And I believe it's a God idea. He gave it to me. Praying one day after practice, and he just said, hey, I want you to build a cross, and I want you guys to carry that cross out before every game. So I built a cross here in my driveway, and it's the same cross we still use to this day. It's lasted all these years. And right before the game, the team will get around it, bring it out from the locker room. We carry that cross down in front of our stands and across the field, and then we plant that in the ground off to the southwest corner of our field. Uh-huh. And then we all kneel down and pray. And I believe that's one of our greatest liberties and freedoms, especially at a Christian school, that we can still honor God. We can still speak the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
And we have that ability to pray. And we try to start every game that way. We try to do it right. I believe it's obviously not how you start, how you finish, but your start will determine how you finish if you're not founded on the right foundation. So we try to, as I said, just keep Jesus in the forefront. And now let these young men that understand that there is no victory without Christ. And so that's kind of what we've been doing, and it's stuck all these years, and I don't see us changing anytime soon.
Well, I believe there's something significant by planting that cross, because we know that should be our central theme, the cross. And, you know, you guys have a nice stadium. You have great fan base. And but I've observed over the years your passion to win. So many Christian schools, they think, well, we just need to be nice and we need to be an example of being a Christian, which I believe that is very, very important. And you know, it's being more than just being good sports. You got to win more than just a good sportsmanship award. And there's got to be a passion for winning. And winning is so important. God, I believe that God put in each of us the heart of a champion. And I have seen how that you have drawn out that championship attitude, that championship spirit out of your players, because I know that's what you have. And you begin your coaching career declaring, we're going to win some football games and some state titles, which you certainly have done. And just to watch you coach on the sidelines, you have great passion to win. You're very excited. You're very passionate. And you are a disciplinarian. How has that worked, being a disciplinarian? Is that worked out when so many kids don't want to be disciplined? How have you gotten by with being such a strict disciplinarian there?
Well, it's not without its challenges. There's obviously kids that come in from all different walks of life, all different backgrounds. But I've coached kids from just about every ethnicity, every economic, every socioeconomic background, and one thing I know is the same in all young men is that they desire to know boundaries and they desire to know their love. Mm-hmm. If you love a young man passionately and enough to really get into his mess and the things he's struggling with, then he will allow you to speak into his life.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to win that trust, and that's not an easy thing. Some is harder than others, and then a lot of it has also depended on the parents backing you.
Mm-hmm.
If you can get backing from a parent, you can really make great strides in a young man's life. It's harder when the parents are not there, but it's not impossible. I've seen young men without parents do very, very well in our program.
Uh-huh.
And, they're not all where they should be, and I'm not where I should be at the end of the day, but I do believe we're a family. We're not just a team. I still have young men coming back. I've been there going into my 13th season. It's just still young men coming back, and I believe that's what true success is. If you can speak into men's lives and young men's lives well into their adulthood after they've played for you, then you know you've got some lasting fruit.
Yeah. Well, I believe it's important to have that alumni base, which you certainly have, and it shows that the young men have really enjoyed playing for you, and some of these young men have gone on to be very productive in life, and I know that you have you played a major part in that, and I know that you have you not only been a disciplinarian, but you have taught them principles. That biblical principles that certainly work in their lives, and so in coaching, you're also teaching as you go along. I'm confident of that because I've seen that.
Absolutely, coaching and teaching is really the same thing. If you're not instructing and training and building discipline and character and all those things, just winning a few games will not stand the test of time. But as you said, these young men going on being successful in life. There are some now that are lawyers and all walks of life. But I've seen young men be youth pastors. One of the young men I coach is now the youth pastor at the church next door and he's doing well. Those kinds of things mean more to me than those trophies on the wall.
Yeah.
To see those lifetime trophies of young men that are winning in life and carrying on the cross of Christ and that banner of just being excellent in life and on the field is it's very, very rewarding.
Very, very important. What are some of your most memorable moments on being the coach of Gateway Christian School there in Roswell?
Probably, gosh, there's so many now over the years. A lot of them, to be honest with you, are things that happened in practice when a young man, I remember one time with Ray Vaz. He was, coming up and hadn't played a lot of football and was struggling, and we were doing some hitting drills and he was getting frustrated and not winning those battles most of the time. And then I just, one day he was just hitting over and over and over and finally just found some moxie. And so he just had to dig deep to find that champion in him. Mm-hmm. And it was just a turning point in his whole football career when he just got over fear and started playing with a little bit of passion. And literally he turned into one of our better players down the stretch his junior and senior year on the line, did a phenomenal job. And I would say Lissandro Feliciano, carrying, we were in a triple overtime game, I believe in 2005, for the semifinals. And it was, I think we were going in for the overtime play. You start from the 20 and work your way in. You have four plays and Lissandro was hit, I think caught the ball at about the 10 and was hit by four or five kids and drugged literally five of their kids across the goal line. And I just thought, man, that passion and that heart it just speaks to me. You know, that's what it takes in life. You're going to have to be willing to give everything sometimes to get that victory. Uh-huh. And we came out victorious and then came in the next year and upset a team that was favored by 45 points over us. And so those are good memories. We won three straight state titles here just recently, a couple years ago. I think last year we made it to the semis. The year before that was our third straight state title. And just seeing Andrew Meeks made the development that he made over the course of those few years, growing in from just a little guy and just the character that he always displayed on and off the field.
Yeah.
That senior year playing through a knee injury and playing in that state game through a lot of pain and just deciding to delay that surgery until the game was over. And literally, we couldn't have done it without him. And just to see that mental toughness, that development that he didn't have early in his career.
Uh-huh.
Those kinds of things, I know, are just propelling him through life. He's doing good now. And there's so many of those young men that I could mention. Obviously, Taylor Call was such a smart guy on the offensive line. And we've had several in the last few years. Mason Miller, great quarterback. We've got some now that I just love. And every year I think, gosh, you know, those were my favorite guys. And now I've got more favorite guys. The truth is I just love young men to help teach and to train them. And it's a blessing just to be where I am.
Right. Well, it's very evident, Sean, that you have that great passion for those young men. And you were mentioning some of those guys that I know. Of course, that 2005 game, the triple overtime was incredible. I was there to see that. And, of course, you were talking about Ray Vaz, who is now an attorney, and he's a lawyer. And you were talking about Andrew Meeks. And Andrew Meeks recently was in Austin, and he preached one night at the Austin Music and Prayer Gathering, did a great job. And so you built not only some great football teams, but you built some great men. And you are not only a football coach, but you're also a preacher. Sometimes I call you the preaching football coach. I know you love to preach, and I know you have a great passion for Jesus. And for several years, you were the youth pastor, youth leader there at Gateway. And I know that a lot of young people were certainly impacted by the leadership you had, including my own granddaughter, Taylor Gentry, who's going to come back with us soon. And I remember one night she contacted me and said, "Papa, I'm I'm on fire for Jesus. I'm on fire for Jesus right after a youth service. So you made a tremendous impact. And I know that you love to preach. And I know that you have a great passion to preach the gospel. And you have a great passion to talk, to tell others about the Lord. And of course, I know you're in evangelism now, winning people to Jesus.
Absolutely. And I think it's all tied together. I'll be going here in a few minutes. We'll get done here. I work at a food bank on Thursdays, and I get to have person after person come in that's in need of some coaching. And they come in for life coaching, and they get food, and they get other things that help them physically. But we want to help them spiritually, emotionally. And so God's put me in a great place. I love, as you said, I love to preach. But most of all, I just love people. And if I can help somebody get better in the course of a day, then I feel like I'm doing what God's called me to do. And so this serving Jesus is last about, I think I became a Christian just before you became pastor here in Roswell. I think I was 23, almost 24 years old, and now 41. And Jesus has just been so faithful in my life. I just love to get other people in a position to encounter him and to help them along the way and see just the incredible change and transformation that goes through someone's life when they encounter Christ. And then years after, to see his faithfulness and the productivity and the generations that will be changed. If you can change one young man for Christ or be a small part of that, then that generations of young men that he speaks into will be changed, and I believe we can change our nation that way.
Well, I certainly believe that. I know that you've made a major difference not only at Gateway School, Gateway Church, but also in the city of Roswell. And I know that God has given you great favor. And you grew up there in Roswell, and sometimes it's difficult to have honor in the city that you grew up in, but you certainly have done that. You've certainly proven yourself. And you have been a blessing. And I know that you not only coach August, September, October, November, I know that you coach year-round, coaching other people, and, of course, now out doing evangelism in Roswell and also ministering to the poor. And that's what Jesus did. He ministered to the poor. He reached out, and what better way than to give them food, minister the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'm so thankful that you have this tremendous love and passion for people. And it's been a delight to have you on the broadcast, particularly someone that I've watched grow and enlarge and expand, and someone that I had the opportunity to perform your wedding, and have the privilege of marrying you and Don. And so Sean and Don got married, and it was a great occasion. So I'm thankful to have had the opportunity to play a role in your life, as well as your mom and dad. You come from good stock, and I'm so delighted. I'm looking forward to being back in Roswell soon and being able to continue to minister there. I've been ministering actually in Roswell since 1986, and I had the privilege of serving there as the senior pastor, the lead pastor, from 2001 to 2006. It was a great privilege. And, Sean, I'm so delighted to have you on today. And we made it a policy here on BPN Radio that we don't talk about anything that we don't pray about. So I want you to pray, and you can pray for young men. However the Holy Spirit leads you, you can pray. You're on your own, so go for it.
All right. Well, Lord Jesus, we just come boldly before your throne this morning, thanking you, God, for what you've done in our lives. Thank you, God, that you've allowed me to be a part of these young men's lives, God. And I just pray for those out there on the listening today, God, that may be walking in fear or doubt or unbelief, God. I just pray, Father, that there would be a spirit of faith, God, that you give them a measure of faith today in their life, God, knowing that no matter where they're at, God, no matter how they started life, God, that it's not how you start, it's how you finish. God, I know that in my own life, you did so much, God, after I met you, God. It didn't matter what I was or who I was before I met you, God, that all things are possible through Jesus Christ, Father God. So I pray today, Lord, that those that may be downhearted, those maybe that may be facing a major battle, God, I just pray, Lord, that you'd give them your eyes in the situation, God, that they would keep their eyes firmly fixed on you, that they would know, God, that you're the author and finisher of their faith, God, that you don't take us around trials, you don't take us out of all these trials, God, but you take us through these things to build us, God, into mighty men of God, mighty women of God. Lord, I thank you today, God, that in the kingdom of God, there is no gender-friendly stuff, God, that women and men alike can prosper in the kingdom of God, Lord, that you are moving in the hearts of these young women, God, to be bold in their faith, God, to use their sport or their position, God, to further your kingdom, God, to speak your name, God, and to live as though it might be our last day, God, knowing that you could come back anytime. And Lord, when you come back, will you find us doing something worthy of your name? We just pray, Father God, today for those that are sick. I pray, Father, over the ones that are listening today fighting an illness, God, another great battle. I just speak life and healing over their body, divine health and wellness in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, that this nation will rise again. God, I believe in the young men of this nation. I believe, Father, that this is still one nation under God, based on those of us that submit ourselves to you, God. We don't have to maybe, I don't know that we're the majority in number seeking your face, God, but I do know that there is great power in one life that is submitted to your name, God. So we thank you today, Father, that we're going over, we're not going under, God, that you have not called us this far to let us down or called us this far to let us drown. God, we are going to be strong finishers, and you're taking us to the other side. Lord, it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen, amen. Coach, head football coach Sean Wigley, Gateway Christian School. And Sean, it's been a delight to have you on today. I sure love you, and I'm very proud of you. And any church group out there, youth group, that would like for Sean Wigley to come and speak, I know he has limited time, but if you could get him to come to your youth group or your church to minister, to preach, to share his testimony, I know you would be blessed. And you can just get in touch with Sean by just Googling Gateway Christian School. And that's Sean, S-H-A-U-N, Wigley, Sean Wigley. Thanks for being on today. You're a blessing. And I know that people are inspired by your testimony. And just keep winning there at Gateway Christian School. Keep sharing the testimonies. And it's been a delight to have you on today. God bless you, Sean.
God bless you, Pastor. I love you, and I look forward to seeing you.
See you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. What fortune lies beyond the stars? Those dazzling heights too fast to climb. I got so hard to fall so far. I found heaven as love swept low. My heart beating, my soul breathing. I found my life when I laid it down.
Okay, there you have Hillsong United from their new album Empires. Hillsong United, Touch the Sky. All right, very popular song right now, particularly among young people and those that are young at heart. Good to have you listening here on BPN Radio. It's been a delight to have Coach Sean Wigley. This is Friday, and Friday night is the lights are coming on in football stadiums all across America. And I used to be a high school play-by-play football sportscaster. So I still love sports. And it's been good to have Coach Sean Wigley on today. And we're just praying for young men today that will become champions, have a championship spirit, a championship heart, and will desire to be a winner. I love to win. And I'm very competitive. My wife, Jean, is very competitive. And we've had to be since our son has been a basketball, football coach for many, many years. Good to have you listening on BPN Radio here on this Friday, your 24-hour internet prayer station. Praying for revival in America, another spiritual awakening. And if you want to make a donation to this broadcast to BPN, just go to bpnradio.com, bpnradio.com, and go down to the bottom of the page, and you will find the donate button. And you can donate there to Breakout Prayer Network. Your gifts are tax deductible, and you just can use your credit card, PayPal. You can use your debit card. And you can even make a check to Breakout Prayer Network. And there's an address on there that you can send it to. So today's a good day. It's the day the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I just believe that September is going to be a month when God shows himself very, very strong. I just believe some incredible things are happening. I do want to remind those of you in the Roswell, New Mexico area that I'll be ministering there a week from Sunday. That'll be September 13th, Gateway Church International, where Rick Rapp is the pastor. And I just want to encourage everyone by just telling you a few things that I'm seeing coming to America. I see a new wave of revival coming to America, led by Spanish-speaking people, women, and young adults. I see young people in this nation rising out of obscurity to preach the gospel and do signs, wonders, and miracles. I see stadiums being filled with youth worshiping their God, with singing, praying for one another, thousands singing in the Spirit, praying in the Spirit. I see streets in America being filled with people turning to Jesus. I see a radical move of the Holy Spirit, people crowding into church buildings with standing room only, coming before dark, still being there after dawn, religious people running out of the building while people hunger for God run into the building. I see evangelism taking place throughout the nighttime with anointed Christians invading the dark places of the city to take the message of hope. I see thousands of anointed messengers coming from nations of the world to help with the spiritual awakening coming to America. I see many Christians being driven to their knees as a result of the condition of our land, which has been taken and given to others as a result of our walls being broken down, gates burned with fire, all because she did not consider her destiny. I see Christians sitting on major corporate boards as consultants because they've been anointed with the wisdom of Daniel. I see major revivals being led by young people and women also. Youth coming from the backside of the desert, women coming out of their prayer closets. I see many Christians being envied by their neighbors because of their prosperity in difficult times. I see Christians moving into a realm, a dimension of rest. I told the people where I was ministering the other night, I hear the Holy Spirit saying he's putting you under house arrest. he's confining you to a place of peace and tranquility. And that is spelled A-R-R-E-S-T, a rest. He's giving you a rest. The Bible said there is a rest for the people of God. So we're entering, I see the church, I see people declaring that their house is a house of rest. David said, it was in my heart to build him a house of rest. And he didn't get to build it, but his son did. And his son was not chosen because he was a man of wisdom, because he received that wisdom after he was chosen to be king. But he, even though David had many sons, we know the Bible said that he was chosen because he was a man of rest. I believe there is revelation that is coming out of rest. I believe dreams and visions come out of rest. And so I just speak by the Holy Spirit commanding you to rest. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Those are the words written in red by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thank you for being a part of BPN on this Friday. And as we pray for revival in America and other spiritual awakening, if you're on the road today, and I know there are many of you that listen to this broadcast with your phone adapter, and then you can listen to it on your car radio. So if you're driving down the road, please be careful. Have a wonderful, wonderful Labor Day weekend if you're out on the road. But we'll still be here 24 hours a day broadcasting. We're going to be back tomorrow at the same time.
You've been listening to BPN Radio with Dale Gentry, your 24-hour internet prayer station. Tell your friends around the world to listen to this hourly broadcast as we pray for revival in America, another spiritual awakening. Remember, as America goes, so goes the world. BPN Radio is sponsored by you, their loyal listeners and prayer partners. To donate to this network, click on the Donate button on our website at www.bpnradio.com. Remember that your contributions are tax deductible. Tune in at the same time or any time, day or night, to pray with Dale Gentry.